Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 6th of August, recording at 9:19 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, now, a quick review of the markets, and it's more rock and roll today. First, the Asian stock markets were mostly down following Wall Street's big sell-off on Friday, but most of the Asian markets closed well off their lows, with some of them closing near the highs of the day, but nevertheless, down on the day, except, of course, for China, always the candidate to uncouple, and that touched another all-time high. In European markets, started down, moved modestly to the plus side, and then closed down as Wall Street gave up its opening gains. Now, Wall Street really seesawed. Opened up about 70, 80 points, gave it all up, got it all back, gave it all up, moved to the minus side, and then closed up 286 points on the Dow, or 2.18%, 2.42% on the NASDAQ, on the S&P, and 1.44% on the NASDAQ Composite. So, with the Dow completely offsetting Friday's sell-off, almost achieving the same with the S&P. So some definite buying there today. Now, long-dated government bonds eased against that background a little bit. And there was some other drama in here today. Now, not in the dollar. The dollar index is actually up a bit, having dipped below the psychological 80 level. It's picked up here a little bit, and up a little bit against sterling, down a fraction against the euro, having been weaker earlier on. Now, the big news among resources is that the oil sector has been hit quite hard here. Crude oil down 337, knocks it back to 72.11. Gasoline, con futures down 10. And what sort of impact did that have elsewhere? Precious metals down slightly, except for platinum, which was up a dollar. And the industrial metals were mostly up. I think zinc was down a little bit. The main exception was lead, which got clobbered on supply fears. So lead's the one that you remember that had accelerated up to what I felt was a high at 3,500 last month, and then fell down over consecutive days, staged a partial rally, but got hit beneath the former high here today. Okay, so that's pretty much it. Wheat was up in here today in a sort of a quiet sector in the grains and beans. So what's going on here overall? Well, as far as these stock markets are concerned, I'm not really willing to call this anything more than a correction. It's a very frightening correction, because unlike the one that we saw in May, June last year, predictable though that was just a temporary overextension, as was the one in February of this year, triggered by China, when China fell 11%, and that was it in terms of China's sell-off. It then steadied. Now, this correction that we're in right now started against the background of overextension, so it shared that in common with all the others, but it does have the fundamental story of the credit problems, mostly, if not entirely, centered on this nonsense involving the investment banks and the securitized debt obligations, which have been propping up like baddies in a Freddy Krueger horror film, here to use a little hyperbole, but the worst problem for many investors is that they don't know how big this stuff is, they don't know where it is, they don't know where it's going to pop up next. Now, there's no smoke without fire, But people are seeing or forecasting fires just about everywhere, and I think they're a little bit hysterical about it overall. Now, of course, if I had a portfolio full of U.S. and international bank shares, then I'd be feeling suicidal as well. But I don't. And when I look and say, well, what does this have to do with my portfolio and the performance of my portfolio? You can get a little bit of contagion fear selling overall, but it's quite remarkable how little some of those markets have come off. I was looking at India, for instance. Now, you know, India is my favorite stock market for the very long term, and it has been pretty much since 2003. And in 2006, in that predictable correction, well, India got walloped temporarily. It fell by a third in the space of 4 weeks. Then it ranged a bit and then recovered. The whole thing moved on to new high ground. India also had a sharp setback in February. This time, so far, at any rate, and I can't say that we've seen all of the selling and all of the contagion yet. That would be premature. You really can't say that something is over for sure until you've had a heck of a good recovery from whatever reaction lows occur. But India's held up remarkably well. Thailand's held up remarkably well. China hasn't even blinked. And the Atlantis China Fortune Fund is just given up, I don't think it's given up more than 1% or so. So, you know, I don't really see that there's much of a connection here between that portfolio and some of the big resources positions, the weakest of which is predictably the Rio Tinto, which had that big takeover. That takes time to digest, and these things always do. And people know that Rio won't be doing any more share buybacks for a while because it will have increased, be in the process of increasing debt with that takeover. And they also know, as I said right away, that there would probably be a rights issue. So that's come back most of the things that are in my investment portfolio, and it's probably quite attractive at today's levels. But the other positions haven't even blinked. You know, I haven't even seen enough, I haven't seen anywhere near enough damage to say, let's take some of the cash I have on long-term deposit or monthly rollover treasury deposit, actually, to take some of that off to prepare to put it to work in the markets, because you know, maybe things will change. Maybe the bears will be right and we'll get a much bigger correction between now and the end of October. But so far, this is not that dramatic an event. But I do know that it is it does have a fundamental component. And although this is not a fundamental component that is going to jeopardize the whole overall global economic advance. Now, what about Bernanke? Lots of people think that the US economy is going to slide into recession. A lot of people have been saying that for a very long time. I have not been among them, feeling that the soft dollar and the strong global recovery would help the US move muddle through, although risks are to the downside. Well, people are talking about a delayed reaction to house price softening, consumer spending drying up, and unemployment creeping up. It crept up in the last data released. It's a lagging indicator, of course, and that would cause problems. Well, maybe. Certainly risks are to the downside for the US economy, but I still think it will escape without a recession. Now, Bernanke is not going to cut interest rates to save a few reckless hedge funds, or to prevent the shares of investment bankers from sliding, as we've seen recently. But certainly, Bernanke would get involved if he felt that credit was being restricted across the whole range of the economy, and that if unemployment was rising to the point where it would jeopardize the economy and risk pushing it into recession, then he would come in and cut rates. Now we're not there. I don't think there's any need for urgency on his part overall. So again, I don't want to underestimate any medium-term correction, but I don't think it's any more than that. And it's interesting to see the degree of hysteria that actually exists in the marketplace. That's probably a contrary indicator, at least in the short term, and we saw that reflected in today's rather good rally. Now, moving on here, the oil price, that is important. I've been saying pretty well every day now that with oil having rallied right back to last year's highs, that that was a natural resistance area. We would probably see it range for a while and before it could move upwards through those highs. And certainly today's action suggests to me, I don't want to exaggerate one day's action, but oil down over $3, that certainly indicates that quite a bit of resistance is being encountered up here. Gasoline has led all the way. So I think we're in a ranging reaction for this sector. It won't be anywhere near as big a reaction as we saw last year, which took oil down to $55. We're not going to go charging up into new highs. So that's favorable for stock markets. Long-dated government bond yields are certainly not signaling any sort of imminent great danger for stock markets. So that's fairly reassuring. And the global economy will continue to roll on, I feel reasonably confident. That will support demand for resources overall more often than not. And precious metals, well, they're not that exciting, but they're not doing that badly either, are they? I think that's pretty much it. I'll be very interested to see how Asia responds to what Wall Street's done in here today. I think for a lot of people, though, they just are inclined to be a little cautious, do a little less in here. So we may see a little less in the way of knee-jerk responses. But a good update on Wall Street is positive for sentiment, and it makes it easier for Asia to pay attention to China. In other words, is it going to follow the Wall Street leash, which it always has done in the past, or is it going to pay more attention to the new China leash? China is the leash ascendant. Wall Street is the leash in some retreat, at least in Asia. And roll on tomorrow for more exciting drama. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.